Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church. And we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with the man who needeth no introduction, the freshly shorn captain.
A little bit.
Jack Berry. Jack, you're looking shaved and shaped. You're looking good.
Yeah.
Looking good.
Ready for by the time of this evening that we're recording, tomorrow I'll be in a new hire orientation.
That's right.
My new company.
That's so right. That's right. Fun. Greater, bigger and better things. Further up and further in for Captain Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, for sure. That's exciting. That's very exciting.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
I got like 17, like I opened up my computer. Dude, so I'm sitting here with my new computer, two monitors right here for the home setup. The whole thing came in a Home Depot box. And I'm like, what? And I open it up and it's like two monitors, a laptop, the Thunderbolt thing that connects everything together.
Right.
To make sure that you can project on the monitors and everything like that. So it is an intense upgrade.
That's awesome.
Going on here.
That's so awesome, dude.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Bigger and better things just mean bigger and better things for yours truly as well, because you know, living vicariously.
More money, more problems.
More money, more cigars.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm happy for you. Congratulations. It's a better fit for you and your fam. And I mean, yeah, just bigger and better things, man.
Josh,
bring it on.
Let's be honest. Josh and I are for the working class people.
We are.
Josh is in the trenches.
Yep.
I'm supplying the trenches with more soldiers.
You are. Yeah. Like, that's actually a fantastic way to view it too. Yeah. That's really true. I'm like, we need more men. Jack's like, I'm trying.
I'm trying to get more pipe fitters here.
Yeah, that's right. That's actually very, 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 very true. That's exactly how it is. But Jack, my friend, before we get into this week's very fun topic.
Spicy.
Very fun topic. Let's, why don't you hit us, my friend, with a little bit of the business. Hit us with that reformatory cigar of the week. What do you got for us?
All right. So we chose the fact that July, we're running low on boutique brands. Somebody make one so we can start reviewing their cigars.
So we're cheating.
So we went with July is for Jack's favorites. These are in no particular order. And I said that the list will comprise basically of three different boutique brands. This is okay. So we talked about Foundation.
Yep.
Starting off with the David, we are going to another brand.
Here we go.
And that is Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust.
Oh, yeah.
With their Stillwell Star series.
Okay.
And especially their holiday blend, for 2022. So they have like a lot. So this cigar is interesting. So I really recommend this cigar if you are a pipe smoker and you are trying to transition into maybe dabbling into some cigar smoking.
Yep.
Because the breakdown of the cigar and of the many Stillwell Star line is basically like pipe tobacco and like some short and long filler cigar tobacco as well too. It's like intermixed. It's supposed to be an aromatic.
Right.
It's supposed to mimic somewhat of what you get in your pipe experience as far as flavors go. But this is really, I mean, out of all of it, I really enjoy, if you look at some of the line, I really enjoy the Navy number 1056, which is a really good, that's part of their regular line of the Stillwell Star. This holiday one is especially kind of more special because it's like a special blend of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, so it's made out of Nicaragua. No shocker there. Wrapper is Ecuadorian Habano. The binder is Mexican San Andreas. It's a specific type of Mexican San Andreas too. It's called Negro Cultivio Toronto. Whatever that is.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. The fillers. Okay, this is the interesting part. The fillers. Cavendish Burley.
Ooh.
Nicaraguan. And some fillers from Virginia as well too.
Yeah.
This is a Toro. I recommend Toro. Toro is really good, really solid tasting cigar in this blend. Honestly, this tastes like, gosh, what can I equate it to? Like everything involved with Christmas time, if you put it into a cigar, it's basically the flavors of this. Like,
yep.
At times you get like a lot of cinnamon, like so a lot of like gingerbread,
right,
cinnamon tasting flavors, kind of even some certain like obviously pipe tobacco aromas and everything along those lines that come with pipe tobacco.
Yep.
But there is a lot of like Christmas time just feels when you're smoking the cigar.
Yep.
And I'm so Half Wheel gave it an 88. I'm really disappointed, Half Wheel, giving the holiday blend an 88, because I definitely think it's like in the 90s.
Yeah, it's a good stick.
It's like very woody. It's very also sweet at times and stuff like that. There's just whole different dynamics to the cigar. Josh, per use.
Yeah.
Sir, I need to know what you think the MSRP is on this bad boy.
I'm going $11.
Okay, so this is a little bit bougier.
Oh man, you went bougie on me today.
You're shooting a little bit lower.
A little low. So it's got to be, I don't know, it's got to be that around that 14 then.
14, 15 range, somewhere around there.
Okay.
So but man, this is like I said, the blend in this, you're getting pipe tobacco, you're getting Nicaraguan tobacco, you're getting Mexican San Andreas, you're getting Ecuadorian.
Yep.
Whole bunch of flavors. Very like I said, cinnamon, gingerbread, woody at times, almost like there's sometimes it kind of remind me of like hot toddiness.
Okay.
To a certain degree. So whole bunch of flavors going on there. If you can't find the holiday cigar, try and find the Stillwell line as well too. There's some sort of variety there that's really good, but I definitely recommend the holiday blend if they have it. So
there it is.
That is the Dunbarton Tobacco Stillwell Star holiday blend.
Well done, Jack, as always. Excellent job bringing nothing but the finest cigar reviews in the business to the podcast. We thank you for that. So ladies and gentlemen, that is the Reformatory Cigar of the Week, and you know what to do. Go and smoke to the glory of God. All right, Jack. Well, Jack, were you aware that this is episode 250?
Oh, wow.
250, my friend.
250.
Look at us.
Wow.
Man, still here. Still here. Many podcasts have come and gone in the time that we have been doing our thing here, just trudging along.
Is it a couple more months and we have the 5-year anniversary?
I think so. Yeah, yeah, because, yeah, I think so. Because we would have been, was it five?
I think it was 2009.
I think it was 2019.
Yeah.
You're right. That's coming up. Wow. Yeah. That's crazy. Man, I don't know what we're going to do for that, but that's cool. That's cool. In the world of the life expectancy of podcasts being approximately 20 episodes, my friend, we have seen many podcasts come and gone, and it's a testament to, I think, the quality of cigar reviews that we have, for sure, as well as the constant need of keeping the local church central in our lives. So from me to you, my friend, happy 250. Mm-hmm. This is pretty great. So why don't we talk about politics?
We're gonna get 251. They're gonna cancel us.
250, and that's when the podcast died. Yeah, exactly. No, not so much politics, but my friends. So Jack, I'm sure it's all over everyone's Twitter, right? The whole goodness, man, it's been a week.
Oh yeah,
it's been a week. We've gone from president candidate Trump getting almost assassinated.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
To praying to some Hindu demon at the Republican convention. All in the same span of a week.
Yeah.
People are inundated right now. It's politics is getting shoved down people's throats, whether they like it or not.
Yeah,
it's a crazy world out there. I think I put up on Twitter a picture of Matthew McConaughey like ripping on a cig, like obviously in the middle of like a panic attack. And I was like, this is us millennials after living through yet another event that will be in the history books. It's like, I'd like a break. Can't take much more.
Yeah.
My friend, how's the week? I obviously have some thoughts and they're not going to be new thoughts, people. But this is what's in front of our faces right now, right? And it's always good to be reminded of what is right and what is true and what should remain central in our lives. But Jack, how's the week been for you after taking all that in?
Yeah, I think part of it is one part of it is like really, as much as I dislike Trump the candidate and him as a person, I felt like if he would have actually, if the shooter was a better shot and he would have got killed that day, I think there would have been some craziness on the level of summer of 2020.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think
things
there
wouldn't have gone well.
I think our discourse right now is basically like hinging on some people use that meme where the Cheeto is basically the
lock on the door. Yeah,
I feel like we're at that moment right now politically in this country. Now, mind you, like politics isn't everything, and I think as Christians we do need to engage in politics. Like, it's going on, and for us to like retreat out of politics is not wise, because we have to be a part of that conversation somehow. But also the way in which we engage like politicians in the political process is going to baffle people. Like, I have seen people talk to their congressmen who are just adamantly for Trump and are saying like, and pushing back against them. And they're confused because they're like, but why are you Republican then if you're pushing back? So there's a level of, I think, political parties just telling people to fall in line and do what we tell you to do, which is some disconcerting things.
Sure.
To the level of, I mean, just what was it, either today or yesterday with the RNC, like opening up the RNC with a Sikh prayer to Sikh gods is like, whoa, that's interesting.
Well, I mean, and it's something that I hope is, again, like you said, I'm not of the belief that we just need to recuse ourselves from all things politics.
Yeah,
we live in America. right? Mm-hmm. And part of being a good citizen in America is having some level of involvement on the political sphere. And sometimes, I would argue most of the time that just means that you cast your vote or you engage in that process somehow, right? I'm not gonna be the guy that says if you don't vote, then it's a waste, because you have the right and the freedom to not vote. That is just, I am of the belief, and I know that it's not a popular one, but I'm a belief that that's just as much exercising that right as actually voting, right? Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things, Jack, where it's just my hope through all of it is that Christians begin to see how fake the political Christianity is. And it's stuff like this that I think begins to do that, right?
Yeah.
And whether you are more politically minded or less politically minded, I don't think that matters. Because look, I have some friends that are really politically minded, right? I'm personally not. My mind just doesn't go down that track as easily as some people's. And I have some friends who I know are believers, I know love Jesus, but are like very politically minded. And my worry is always that the things are going to get conflated, right? That we're going to somehow be conflating American Christianity and then biblical Christianity, because American Christianity wants to say it's biblical Christianity, right? Oh, yeah. And that's been a problem forever, and it will continue to be a problem. But it's stuff like this, like you just said, like the praying to some Sikh deity at the Republican convention, which is pretty unprecedented.
Yeah.
Like that's a new level of wow. Right. Yeah. To now also Trump and, you know, his VP pick, Vance or something like that.
JD Vance. Yeah.
Being okay with some level of abortion.
Oh
yeah. That has always, for as long as I've been alive, has been one of the main talking points of the Republican Party. Now, granted, I have my thoughts on why it's been there forever, right?
Yeah.
And why nothing's actually ever been done. Yeah. But for the first time in my life, I'm seeing that no longer be something that people are holding on to. So now you have this dichotomy that I think a lot of Christians in America are going to have to realize really quickly, is the farther our culture moves away from Scripture, even those that call themselves conservative, you will find quickly, does not mean biblical.
Yeah.
Conservative does not mean biblical. Republican does not mean biblical. Mm-hmm. Right. And we're seeing now, perhaps for the first time in a lot of our lives, the diversion away from the authority and the exclusivity of Scripture as the authority, right, to political talking points and what is going to get the votes. And my prayer through all of this is that it serves as a type of refining fire and a wake-up call to some Christians who perhaps have been conflating politics and faith a little bit. And as you begin to see, like, look, this party, they're not Christian, right? Mm-hmm. Now, granted, are some of the policies more in line with Scripture than perhaps those on the other side of the aisle? Yeah, sure. Yeah, you can have that conversation. But let's make no mistake. Christianity is defined by Scripture and nothing else. And we're beginning to see now, Jack, I think for the first time, we're moving away from that. And now even those that would call themselves conservative, I'm looking at, I'm thinking, you are nowhere close to what the Scripture says a believer is. And we're in for some interesting few months here, my friend.
Yeah. I'm seeing a lot of people who I vastly disagree on Twitter straight up come out who have been supporters of President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just saying, nope, like GOP, like the GOP policy platform now is basically they're getting rid of anti-abortion. They're getting rid of like one man, one woman marriage too. So they're opening that up. And then they're also, there was somebody I saw who retweeted who said, the GOP platform is now inclusive of LGBTQ language. So it's like the floodgates, like probably the Republican Party is now part of post-modernity now. Mm-hmm. Like the Democrats may have got a jump on him.
Oh yeah.
But now the Republicans have gone that way because you have candidates who are now not Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And who are swayed in a different way of thinking about how to get votes. And this will be interesting because for the longest time, over year after year after year, it's always been, who are the evangelicals voting for? This will be interesting if there's like an evangelical, like, and that word even alone in polling is hard. Because mm-hmm. if you got to really dig down deep, because a lot of the people that say that they're evangelical really aren't.
Right.
They're really not even Christians, to be quite honest. They say they go to church maybe once a month. And it's like, hold up. Like if we're actually evangelicals, as we say we are,
mm-hmm.
we should be going and gathering with our church on the Lord's Day every single Sunday, like we talk about.
Right.
There should be some more dynamics to that, right? That we've talked about on this podcast about what it means to be faithful to your local church and the identity markers of a believer.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's some really concerning stuff. And I think today is either today or yesterday when this prayer happened, that it just shows that, in my mind, Donald Trump will put somebody up there just to get votes. If he can appeal to a broader audience to get votes, he will do that.
Well, and here's the thing, like, yeah, duh, right? Yeah, I mean, that's politics, right? Yeah. Like, you're 100% yeah. correct. That's that. If he wants to win, of course he'll do that. Right. And look, maybe I just take I'll fully admit I'm very cynical when it comes to the political sphere, especially in America. But it's all a game. And at the end of the day, I'm not, call me a conspiracy theorist, but I'm not convinced that it's Republican and Democrat. I think it's whoever it's whoever's greasing the palms at the end of the day that's really in charge. And I don't think it's either party. Right. The deep state
money people.
It's the deep state cabal. It's the court of owls. It's the American court of owls is what it is.
It's a deep cut. People don't know that.
It is. That is a deep cut. That's deep cut meaning DC deep cut.
Yeah.
It's a DC. And it's like, yes, that's what Trump's going to do if he wants to win. Right. And it's been this way forever. You're going to appeal to the widest demographic of people that you're going to get your votes. And guess what, people? We're finally seeing the reality come forth that true Christianity is no longer the largest demographic. It's not.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, I'm not convinced that it ever was. I think a case can be made that, you know, we were founded on at least biblical principles, right? And that we see the effect and the influence of the Word of God throughout our history. But again, it's, you know, my eschatology kicks in, and I know that things aren't moving toward a more pure understanding of Scripture. We're moving away, right? And that means that Christ is no less Lord, no less on his throne, no less reigning, but it means that this world is not our home. And this world is going to burn, right? And we're finally seeing that. And my hope is that no matter how you engage in the political realm in the next coming months, because Jack, in my opinion, I think I can probably speak for you as well, we ain't seen nothing yet. It's just like the oven's on low right now. You think this is bad? we're about to turn this sucker on broil, dude. And it's gonna get bad.
We're not even 100 days yet. We're just outside of 100 days to the election, mm-hmm. to the primary. But
yeah.
I think I feel like the RNC convention has to go through. I think what's going to be even more interesting and maybe more contentious is probably the Democratic convention, because there's so many people who are calling for Biden to just stop.
Oh,
just
yeah, for
step
sure.
Aside.
For sure.
And he won't. And he's just stubborn old man, dude. He's just token stubborn old man.
Yeah.
Like, nope, I'm not doing this. So I think that'll be even the more interesting dynamic. I got my voter pamphlet for Pierce County, and I was looking, perusing through that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting. I think people are starting to awaken to the fact that we need mechanisms for independent candidates.
Mm,
and I'm starting to see that more and more, where they don't want to be tied to the Republicans because you have to kowtow to every single thing, or the Democrats because you have to kowtow to every single thing that they say in order to get money. And really, that's the end all be all. People attach themselves to political parties because they need money for their campaigns.
Yeah, sure.
And they need resources. It's like anybody, honestly, and I don't doubt them. I don't, like, in some sense, it's like, okay, I get it. You need money, you need resources, so you pick a party and become part of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, to be honest, some churches just joining denominations because they have more resources and they somewhat align with you, right?
Sure.
We see that a lot with certain Baptist churches going to the SBC just because you have a massive amount of resources at your fingertips.
Yeah, or non-denoms going with like Acts 29 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So... yeah, it'll be interesting if you start seeing more local. I'm seeing more local independent candidates that, honestly, I would probably vote for in a heartbeat against any one of the two parties right now.
Sure.
But that, I feel like that's more, and that really comes in the way of why we do this podcast. Like, we talk about the local church, talk about what's going on in your area. Interestingly enough, we have like a state representative in my local church that's a member. Mm-hmm. So, and she was in the ballot, or she's in the pamphlet, and she's running against somebody else. And so that's going to be an interesting dynamic. And it's interesting too, because I would say that maybe not all of her political ideology lines up kind of with our church, but we're like happy to have her.
Sure.
And I think that's I think that's another topic maybe that could be something interesting moving forward with local churches, is what happens when state representatives or state senators, maybe for whatever reason, maybe this is the hand of God happening in the country. Maybe they are starting to engage with looking at who is God, or asking questions and want to know what is Christianity all about. And they start looking in certain places, and your local church may be one of those.
Yeah.
How are you going to witness to them?
Yeah.
How are you going to develop unity within your body?
Yep.
Because even though she's a Republican, we have prayed for many different people. We've prayed for President Biden before in our Lord's Day service. We prayed for, I know last Sunday we prayed for President Trump, obviously, with the assassination attempt.
Sure.
And some people are more apt to demonization of the other side versus like we need to pray for those people too, that they would come to an understanding of Jesus Christ and the gospel as well.
Yeah.
So I think local elections are going to play a bigger part in the local church than more. And obviously it's the president, but I feel like everybody's burnt out with national politics because they know that nothing's moving forward there.
Oh, for sure.
It's just gridlock.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and it's always going to be gridlock.
Well, and you know, like I go even deeper too. And when I see kind of the, you know, when I see the postmodern reality that is politics now, right? And that it just kind of all truth is truth, as long as you're not hurting anybody, right? We're gonna hold all things as equal, and Christianity now is placed on the same level as, you know, the Hindu faith and the, you know, honestly, like the LGBTQ movements and all that stuff, right? We're not seeing a separation anymore, So the question is, how do we, in a postmodern world with postmodern politics and policies, how do we as Christians keep our focus, right? What is it that we're supposed to be focusing on, right? And we've already addressed, you know, again, it's not going to be anything new, but it's not, I don't think it's necessarily recusing yourself from everything and going and hiding in a cave or under a rock.
Yeah.
You know, but I also don't think it's just going all hog wild in, yeah. you know, into it, trying to save a system that honestly is not a system that I believe can be saved.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. Like as much as I am a fan of the capitalistic, you know, understanding of how to run a country, it's not God's economy. Mm-hmm. It wasn't created by God. It's a system of man that, just like all other systems, are going to be exploited and are going to ultimately fail, right? Because the kingdom of God is not of this earth.
Yeah.
Right? And I really think that it's easy to become distracted by these goings on because they're loud. They are very loud. But let the postmodern RNC be a warning and hopefully a sign that, you know what, guys, our focus truly should be on our local churches. If you want to see true change in your community, if you want to see true change amongst your people, mm-hmm. it comes from the local church.
Yeah,
it really does. Now, yeah, local churches aren't going to make gas prices cheaper. They're not going to make groceries cheaper. I understand all that, right? I get that. But your calling first and foremost is as a Christian and to your people, right? And that's hard for me to remember too, because like there's a lot that gets me riled up and be like, yeah, like of course I want cheaper this and cheaper this. I'm going to, like, you know, the quick fixes are always the most attractive. Yeah. But there is no quick fix to the plight that America has other than the gospel.
Yeah. I was reminded of just how much we need people focused on biblical literacy. And it was interesting. Most people know who Jackie Hill Perry is, but her husband Preston, he was doing like a Q&A, and I put this on Twitter too, because it was just such a interesting comment in the fact that he was talking about biblical literacy, and he said, you know, I interact with like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons all the time, and he's like, you know, we should be challenged that false religions are more like faithful to their lies than Christians are the truth. And if that doesn't like hit you square in the face, mm-hmm. like it's true. Like if we look at how many times we gather as a local church and how many times we are looking at scripture,
yeah.
or how many times we are challenged with scripture.
Yeah.
It is incrementally going lower. And the 24-hour news cycle and political stuff is going higher than that.
Sure, sure.
To where we're putting politics above the word of God and the understanding of the gospel and the understanding of God's wisdom,
yep.
and his counsel. And it's a dangerous place to be in when that happens, because if you get swayed with that, like, you're not going to have a defense of your faith against Jehovah's Witnesses.
Right.
And like it's there, I can point to two distinct passages with Jehovah's Witnesses, and they're gonna start backpedaling a little bit.
Sure.
Or you start to challenge them on the trendy. But most Christians are not equipped to do that.
Yeah.
And I would say this: there are, if you live in a city that's has more, I mean, I see it time and time again in Tacoma. If you go into the city, you see more urban areas start to pop up with Hebrew Israelites, with Muslims, with Jehovah's Witnesses, because time and time again, we haven't as Christians really shown people Jesus through the gospel.
Yeah.
And we've let the cults kind of take him and make him whatever they want him to be.
Sure.
And that's where you start to see a lot of people become militant versus Christianity becoming weaker and weaker.
Yeah.
Because we haven't been training we haven't been discipling people.
Yeah.
And I think if anything, that should be your most important call is the 24-hour news cycle in politics is discipling people. Mm-hmm. How are we to disciple people when you have that challenge above you?
Right.
I mean, part of it is to pray, but another part of it is like, how do you engage with those people?
Yep.
And ensure that they're biblically literate?
Exactly.
So I think that's the biggest call that we have to look at.
Yep.
When also engaging with politics and the political spectrum and world. So,
yeah, no, I couldn't agree more, man. Couldn't agree more. Yeah. Yeah. Those balance need to be shifted. And I think, you know, that we want to see that diagram going the other way. People are going to be discipled by something, and it's often whatever's on the TV, whatever's on the news. And even as Christians, we got to be careful of that, right? What are you being discipled by? I think that's a fantastic question for all of us to continually ask ourselves. And it's usually whatever is taking up the most of your time. That's usually what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So excellent thoughts, Jack. Well, there's more that could be said.
Not as spicy as I thought it was going
to
be, but
you know, we save all that for the podluck. Yeah.
Oh, I got some spice going on.
Oh yeah. I'm sure it has
to do with donut vernacular. If you want to be a part of the pod,
vernacular.
Donut vernacular in the United States. This is going to be fun.
Okay.
We'll talk about this next podluck.
So. All right. Well, and here, I'll even throw this out there. All right. If you want to hear about donut vernacular and who Jack and I are voting for come November, hop on over to the podluck. We're not going to share it here. We're not stupid. I don't want to. We're not stupid. Hop on over to the podluck and we'll talk. But Jack, why don't you get us out of here, man?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you appreciate Josh and I's attempts at making the local church central to the believer's life, you can follow us on the Sociables.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Engage us more. Drop us a DM. Drop us a episode idea. If you have questions for us and anything that we talk about in the episodes, we're willing and ready to answer those questions as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised I haven't been called out, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
I've said some stuff.
That's true.
And I'm pretty sure people have questions.
It's true.
I'm surprised I haven't been called out yet. But if you want to call me out, you can do that. You can do that on the metaverse, if you will, the Facebook, the Instagram, goes well with chocolate marshmallow, or the always interesting sociable, formerly known as Twitter, X, all at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Josh, we talked about the podluck. Can you reintroduce the listeners to how to get involved with the podluck and other forms of listening to the episode?
Absolutely.
Or watching.
100%. If you want to watch these episodes as well as listen to them, you can head on over to YouTube and check out the Reformatory Podcast. And you can find all the videos there. We upload them every week. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications, as the kids say. We enjoy hearing your reviews for the podcast, as long as they're 5 stars. Right, we appreciate 5 stars for 5 solas, as we used to say. Maybe you're a longtime listener, never sent us a review, never rated the podcast. Well, maybe today's the day. So if you're on iPhone, all you gotta do is scroll down, hit those 5 stars, maybe leave us a little message. You know, we enjoy hearing those. Last but not least, as Jack said, we do have a podluck. We have exclusive content. It is Patreon, and it is the best in the business. You head on over there for $5 a month. A $5 holla is all it takes, and you too could become part of the Reformatory family. And if you do so, our pledge to you is your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of this podcast. That is our pledge to you. And my friends, we will thank you all for listening, and we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.